Please turn in your Bibles this morning to this morning's scripture, which is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. If you would like to follow along using a pew Bible, you will find the passage on page 1007. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Let's pray. Well, Father, we want to please you this morning. And so would you give us the gift of faith, faith to see with your eyes today from your word how we might exercise faith and look to you as we look forward in faith as a church. So we pray that you would speak to us today that we might change and become more like our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, as has been mentioned today, we are kicking off a new ministry year together. And if you haven't already received the Ministry Year magazine, be sure to grab one of those on your way out today. There's lots of information in there. Hope you'll keep that on a coffee table somewhere and grab an extra copy or two to pass out to folks. A great way to introduce our church to folks, since it has all the ministries in there outlined and even some ministry philosophy in terms of how we go about doing ministry. So it'd be a great tool to reach out to the community and to those that might be interested or that you might want to share your home church with. The staff and the ministry teams of our church have been very busy for about 6 months now, preparing that magazine and preparing for a new year of ministry as we look forward in faith here as a church. And if you belong to Jesus, then certainly your heart's desire is to please him with your life. And so, what is this faith that's being spoken of here? What does that look like that we might please our Lord? Well, at the beginning of chapter 11, the writer defines faith for us, as we have seen, in this way. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, a mistake that we might make in reading that is that this is somehow wishful thinking, or that faith is something out there that we can't really understand or grasp. But that's not what the intention of the writer at all. He is talking about a reality that exists. In fact, a reality that is probably more true than anything we know, for it is the reality of God and his sphere of existence and his kingdom and all of that that encompasses, including our universe and our world. But part of that understanding is unseen to us. We can't see God. He is invisible. We can't see every aspect of his domain and kingdom. But they are real nonetheless. And this is the assurance of things hoped for by God's people. But it is a sure hope anchored in the promises of God, a God who cannot lie, a God whose will come to pass. And it is the conviction of those things that are unseen. And so as we walk forward in faith, it's with that understanding that this is not something that we're just kind of hoping is going to happen down the road sometime, but rather, no, these are sure things, sure promises of God, sure realities of God that we can stake our lives in and know that they are true, even if we don't see how it all unfolds. Over the past number of weeks, we've been studying the lives of the saints that are listed in this chapter, chapter 11, sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame, and we've seen how in each of their lives, this faith has worked out in that a very similar way. We've looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and others, and the writer tells us that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but seeing them far off. Of course, they're enjoying them completely now in eternity and in their eternal rest. And yet in their lifetimes, they didn't see all of these promises come to be. But the story doesn't completely change in the New Testament, does it? Yes, we understand that Christ has come and he has fulfilled those promises that were promised to all of the Old Testament saints. And those things that they were waiting for were realized in Christ perfectly. But take a look at the book of Acts when Jesus was leaving the earth and going back to heaven at his ascension. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we have this part of the story recorded for us. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" Well, they were using perfect logic and reason based upon what they had experienced and what they had witnessed in Jesus in their own lives for the past 3 years. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was alive. He was there with them. What earthly power could possibly stop him now from setting up his kingdom and conquering all other powers? Who could be enough to go against a man who had conquered death and who provided that for his people? What they saw with their eyes and experience made this scenario seem very possible and good and right. It made sense. But remember, faith doesn't operate in the seen world. If we had it in our control, it wouldn't be faith. But faith also goes way beyond what we can possibly imagine. And it accomplishes what we might think impossible. Jesus challenged them to have eyes of faith, even like their forefathers did. Notice Jesus' response to them when they asked him that question. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Like their Old Testament predecessors, like Noah, like Enoch, like Moses, like Jacob, and like Isaac, they didn't get to see everything fulfilled in their lifetime either. The legacy of faith in the unseen things would continue, and it continues for us today. They had to have faith in something that they couldn't see. But in faith, they weren't to wait around, coasting in neutral either. No, they had work to do. Jesus continued, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus promised that he would send his Spirit, and by faith, they would turn the world upside down with the good news about Jesus Christ. And they did just that. They would see spiritual mountains moved, empires rise and fall, and a victorious church moving forward for over 2,000 years, always by faith and in resurrection power. Continuing in Acts chapter 1, the disciples, it tells us, stood there with their mouths agape, looking up as Jesus ascended into heaven. The angels that were there had to snap them out of it. They were told to get busy. Why do you stand there gazing? Get busy building God's kingdom, because Jesus was coming back. He would return for them one day, and they were to, by faith, go into the world with the good news of Jesus as God would prove faithful to them. They were being challenged to live every single day of their lives by faith, not by sight. How about us? As we begin a new ministry year together as a church, are we exercising faith in a God who can work through us to do the impossible? Or are we content to live out our Christian lives within a framework that we can see and control? In preparation for our upcoming 40th anniversary celebration in a few weeks, I had the privilege of rewatching the video that was produced 15 years ago at our 25th anniversary. A number of the folks in that presentation are with the Lord now. But like Abel and the faithful saints of old, though they died, yet they still speak. They speak about stepping out in faith into the unknown, the unseen realm of faith, and God was faithful to them as they pleased him. God showed up, rewarding that faith, even as our text says, by expanding his kingdom right in their midst and building this church on the hill. And I can tell you with 100% certainty, God hasn't changed. God is still faithful. He's still interested in rewarding those who seek him by faith. But remember, faith isn't living where you're comfortable. And it's not living where you're in control. Faith is living on the edge of the unknown, the things hoped for, the promises of the gospel. What are your ministry dreams for St. Andrews this morning? How would you like to see God blow us away in building his kingdom right here in Irmo? And does your vision for the kingdom here require faith to believe it could happen? If it doesn't, maybe it's not a vision worth having. Does your faith reflect an all-powerful God whose kingdom is advancing in this broken world, or does it reflect a retreat from the world into safety and comfort? The gospel message is a message of faith. It doesn't make any sense in a pragmatic world of seeing is believing. It only makes sense in a life lived by faith. Without faith, the message of God sending his only son to die for our sins, to rise from the dead and to ascend to heaven in an eternal glorified body. Outside of faith, that seems absurd. The world looks at that message without eyes of faith and thinks it's ridiculous. It is folly to those who have not been given eyes of faith. But in the context of faith, the Apostle Paul tells the Roman church, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Salvation begins with faith. If you don't know Jesus this morning, ask God to grant you that gift of faith, that you might be able to believe, that you might be able to see what can't be seen without it. Look to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look to him to rescue you from your sin, from your guilt, from your brokenness. Living by faith, by definition, means living outside your comfort zone. If you know Jesus, but are carrying on in your Christian life in the safety of what you know, then you aren't really living by faith. So let's start by reevaluating how we carry out our lives in faith right here in the context of our church family, in the context of being a member of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, the place where God has called you, where God has called you to invest your life in Christian service and in the work of the gospel. Ask the Lord to help you stretch yourself beyond what you've always done, beyond what you're comfortable with. And of course, that means you're probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable. So where do we begin? We talked a little bit about this quite a bit this morning in our 9:15 hour. The leadership of the church has developed a tool for being an enfolded disciple here. It's printed in your worship guide for you where the sermon is listed there. It's the disciple flow based on the early church found in Acts chapter 2. I won't repeat what I went through this morning, but I would like us to ask ourselves four diagnostic questions this morning as it pertains to the disciple flow and being an enfolded member of St. Andrew's and a disciple follower of Jesus Christ today. The first question, and you'll find these actually in the inside cover of the magazine in my article there. The first question, am I faithful in my worship attendance? When you come on Sunday mornings, are you looking to encounter the God of the universe, or are you just here to get something out of him for the day? Something to get you through the week. Looking for the invisible God of the universe in devotion and worship is an act of faith. Looking to get something out of him for my own agenda is a utilitarian, faithless approach to worship. When we gather by faith, God will use his means of grace, the reading and the preaching of his word, prayer, our singing the truths of the word to one another, and the sacraments to grow our faith, and he will reveal more and more of himself to us. How could we possibly neglect that? How could we neglect gathering together with his people every week? We need his grace to live a life of faith, and he's promised to provide it. We avoid corporate worship with the rest of the body at our own danger and peril. Be here. Be committed to attending faithfully the corporate worship of God's people where you have decided to connect yourself and to join in. Secondly, second question, have I found a way to connect deeply with other members of my spiritual family? Looking at it by faith will reveal that we can't do this thing called the Christian life on our own. We need one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul compares the church to a body. And he says, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. Well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If you're here, God placed you here. He chose you to be here, to be a part, to be a member of this body, to be an element of this body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. We need each other. We're family. We're a body. And we need to be connected to the whole body in order to function well. You can't function as a foot out there on your own. So are you connected to the rest of the body? Are you investing spiritually in the lives of others in mutual ministry to one another? And are you allowing them to invest in you? Are you vulnerable with one another in that? And are you connected to all the generations, from the youngest to the oldest in the church, or are you isolated in a particular friend group within the body? Step outside of your comfort zone. Exercise faith. Find a community group or another connection group that will help you to go deeper, deeper with your fellow church members. Thirdly, do you seek to grow? Do I seek to grow in my faith by attending at least one growth class each semester? I went to a new doctor this week. Don't worry, I'm okay. It was a specialist. You know, that's what they do, right? They send you somewhere else to a specialist these days. Well, imagine if in our introduction, I asked him to tell me a little bit about his process of learning and growth in his chosen field. And he responded with, well, you know, throughout medical school, I made sure I attended at least one class once a week. And then I did some self-study at home. If I let that doctor operate on me or give me any medical advice, you'd rightfully call me a fool. I want someone well-studied, someone who's immersed themselves in their field of study, who knows what they're talking about. But I'm afraid some of us might have the perception that all we need to do is show up on Sunday mornings and that's going to be enough. That's going to be enough of an investment in our spiritual lives, in our growth. My guess is that the world is pouring into you a lot more than an hour and a half a week. Well, how will our faith flourish if we don't tend our spiritual garden, seeking to grow in our knowledge of the Lord by studying his word? And certainly that needs to be happening on your own, but also here as we study together, as we're instructed by those who have diligently studied the word and who know the word and who can help us in our growth as we need help. So find a place to grow here. There are many opportunities. Fourthly, are the gifts that God has given me being used to serve the church? This might be one of the biggest challenges for some of us. I mean, after all, we live in a very consumeristic society, don't we? It would be pretty natural for that consumer mindset to transfer into the church, into our church involvement as well. We might be tempted to think we come to church to receive, to get spiritually fed. But let's go back to Paul's metaphor. It's true that the foot gets nutrition and life from blood flow, and it gets purpose from the rest of the body. But if the foot doesn't do what it was designed for, then the body's not going anywhere. And the whole body's going to suffer because of it. If it's not exercised, it's going to atrophy and be useless. And if it isn't walking as it was designed to do, then the rest of the body isn't benefiting from its intended function. All the parts of the body must exercise their respective function and gifts if the whole is to be effective. No one else can be you here at St. Andrews. No one else can fill your role here. If you're missing in action, then some part of the body here isn't working like it should. Maybe you're tempted to say, well, things are going just fine without me. The church has been functioning well with me on the sidelines. Has it? How do you know until you join in? If the church has functioned well, running on half its resources, imagine. Imagine how much more effective our ministry will be running on all cylinders. Well, that's exciting. Maybe you can't see it, but isn't that what faith is all about? In a few minutes, we're going to go downstairs to see the opportunities and to begin our sign-up process for the new year. Don't worry, no one's going to pressure you. No one's going to follow you around, make sure you sign up for things. You can stay for short or as long as you want. It's an opportunity for you to see what the staff has prepared, what the leadership has prepared for you to be involved in. And even if you think that you're all set, you've got it all covered, just humor us and go down there for a few minutes. I think you're going to be surprised at how many opportunities there are to serve here at St. Andrews. I said this earlier, there are hundreds of them. Not a dozen, not 20, not 50. There are hundreds of individual serve opportunities that we need help with. Everyone can find a way to serve, something to do. The room downstairs is divided up into four corners. It's a little bit different this year. There aren't individual ministry tables or booths. We're thinking of this in a whole church context. One body in Christ, worshiping together, connecting with one another, growing together, and serving together. Those are the four corners of the room. Stop by each one and see what's happening and how you can plug in. There are going to be some refreshments down there, so that'll tide you over. You don't have to race out of here to get to Lizard's Thicket ahead of everybody. You'll have time. There's some other interesting things down there that you might be interested to know about. There's a help desk. So maybe you have trouble with the whole online thing and not sure how to sign up or whatever. Well, someone will be there to help you. We've got the beginnings of a new church directory down there in print. You might want to see what your picture looks like in there to make sure that's the one you want. And if you want a different one, let us know. We'll take a good picture of you. I'm serious about that. But in the serve corner, it's going to be one of the big emphases for the day. You're going to see these boards with hundreds of white cards with little QR codes and descriptions about how you can serve around here. Those cards are for you to take. So there's a little stick pin, pull it out. If the card interests you and you think, you know what, this is a way I can serve St. Andrews, take that card and use it to sign up. There's a name of a staff member on there you can contact. If you're not up on how to do a QR code and how to sign up online, you can just reach out to the staff member. But find at least one of those cards, if not a couple, of ways in which you can serve and use your gifts here. We draw your attention now to this little insert that you've got in your worship guide today. It's a small card with some boxes to check. This is not to turn in. This is for you. Don't check the boxes if you're not sincere and you're not going to follow through with it. This is between you and the Lord. But if you'd be willing to check those boxes, then let me encourage you to do so and to put it in your Bible, and over the next couple of weeks, figure out how it is that you're going to accomplish those things. I will commit to faithfully attend and participate in weekly worship with my church family. I'll seek to find a connection group opportunity to deepen my church family relationships. I will attend at least one growth class each semester for the purpose of knowing Jesus better. I'll find one place in which I can use my gifts and talents to serve the Lord and His church. I will promise to financially support SAPC as the Lord enables me to do so. And I will regularly pray for SAPC's effective ministry of the gospel to the lost. Unless we're praying that the Lord would break our hearts for the lost in our community, we won't see them. We won't have the eyes of faith to see them. We'll look past them. So if you're willing to commit to do those things, let me encourage you to do that, to check those at some point. Place that in your Bible as a continual reminder, and be praying about how the Lord might help you uncover and do those things. So here are some practical things to consider as we wrap up here today. Hear this first. Don't be here every time the doors are open. If you're here every time the doors are open, well, that's time perhaps that you're taking away from your family, or that you're taking away from being salt and light in the community. We're not asking you to be here every time the doors are open. When they are open, think outside the box a little bit in terms of how you can plug in. For instance, let me give you a couple of scenarios. Worship, that's a given. Sunday morning, come to worship. Connect in a Sunday evening community group. Grow in a weekday morning Bible study. And serve as a greeter on Sunday morning during the growth hour. Note that in that scenario, you're not here on Wednesday nights, and on Sunday morning, instead of being fed in a class, you're greeting people who are showing up on campus before worship begins. But you're growing in a weekly Bible study. So that's what I mean by thinking outside the box. Don't think you have to do things the way that you've always done them. Or come to worship on Sunday morning. Let your connection group be the 55-plus group that meets on Thursdays, if that fits you, who you are. Grow in a Sunday morning class at 9:15 and serve in the children's area on Wednesday evening. Notice in that scenario, you're not involved in anything on Sunday nights, and on Wednesday nights, you're coming here to serve, not to be fed, not to grow in a class, but to serve. So you can serve in many places. Don't always feel like, well, if I show up and there's a class going on, I've got to jump in there and learn. I've got to be part of that class. No, there are lots of other ways to connect or to grow or to serve in these various areas. So be creative with how you use your time, again, so that you're not burning yourself out up here all the time, but yet you're hitting all four of these areas. We need folks serving during all of these times as well. And that might be a time when you can use your gifts while others are connecting and growing in classes and things. Another thought, only do what you can do. You're not limited to how much you can do. If you want to do a lot, sure, that's great. But start small. Let me encourage you to start small and build up as time and opportunity permit. But be sure that you're well-balanced and that you're hitting all of these areas. And don't compare yourselves to others. Some folks are going to have more time than you have, less responsibilities perhaps, and they can be up here a lot and be using many of their gifts. We're all gifted differently, and we all have differing levels of time that we can commit. We get that. So don't compare yourselves. Be careful that you're not serving all the time and not taking time to grow or connect if you're bent that way, if you're one of those folks who likes to serve. And don't fall into the trap of attending classes every time you're here and not finding a place to serve, right? And you know what? Reach out into the community with this resource and invite people here. Look through this and look through the growth opportunity classes that we have coming up, the events that we have. There are a lot of singular events for youth, for children, for men, for women, where you can invite somebody to meet your fellow church members that you love and that you're connecting with. And maybe they would connect too. Maybe they would come to Christ and would be able to connect here with the Lord. Let's step out in faith this year. Let's see what the Lord might be pleased to reward our faith with for his name's sake. And as we celebrate 40 years of God's faithfulness to St. Andrews, let's not be satisfied with what's past. Let's look to the future and see what God will do among us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your calling upon our lives as members of this church. We pray now, Lord, that as we consider how we might commit and dedicate our lives afresh to you, offering our bodies as living sacrifices for your purposes, as an act of worship and a response to what Christ has done for us, would you guide and direct our hearts? Would you guard our motives? And would you help us, Lord, to follow your direction and follow your leading as we seek to unfold here and to see your kingdom move forward and grow here in Irmo and in this community and around the world? We ask in Christ's name. Amen.